Here's what's coming up in the Category5.tv newsroom. An update to Adobe's Lightroom app for iOS has wiped user photos with no chance to recover. WSL2 is now available for Windows 10, 1903, and 1909 users. The world's fastest internet can download the entire Netflix library in less than a second. Hands-free driving could be made legal on UK roads by spring. And a Hyperloop may be coming to Alberta. Stick around, the full details and this week's Crypto Corner are coming up.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
From the newsroom, I'm Becca Ferguson. The latest update from Adobe's Lightroom app for iOS inadvertently wiped users' photos and presets that were not already synced to the cloud, and Adobe has confirmed that there is no way to get them back. The issue first cropped up on the Photoshop feedback forums last week when the Lightroom app on iOS was updated to version 5.4. A user posted asking why all of his photos, presets, and watermark data had been removed after updating to the most recent version through the iOS App Store. This was followed by replies from other users saying that the same thing happened to them, whether or not they were subscription-based or free. One user posted to Reddit's r/LightroomSubReddit, saying that they had lost 2+ years of edits after the update. Having spent more than 4 hours speaking with Adobe customer service, they report that Adobe finally said the issue has no fix and that these lost photos are unrecoverable. Adobe provided nothing more than an apology. Confirming the user's claims, Adobe officially confirmed the issue on Wednesday, explaining that customers who updated to Lightroom 5.4 on iPhone and iPad may be missing photos and presets, that those photos and presets are not recoverable, and that they sincerely apologize to users who have been affected by the issue. Version 5.4.1 has already been released, fixing the issue, but it can do nothing about the lost data. This serves as a strong reminder for photographers to always have a backup of your images in multiple places, so you're never subject to a single point of failure. Mistakes like this happen, even at some of the world's largest companies. Microsoft is easing the requirement for Windows subsystem for Linux too. Instead of only working on Windows 10 2004 or higher, WSL is also now available for Windows 10 1903 and 1909 users. Windows 10 users who wanted to work with the new Windows subsystem for Linux version 2 needed to have the latest feature update for Windows, the Windows 10 May 2020 update, aka Windows 10 2004. But on August 20th, Microsoft made a surprise announcement. WSL2 has been backported to Windows 10, 1903, and 1909 as well. As it turns out, Microsoft has been working on bringing WSL2 to 1903 and 1909 for the last few months. They said in a blog post that the goal is for the backport to make WSL2 available to more Windows users. The backport will be for x64 systems only. Those using ARM64 still need to use Windows 10 2004 to get WSL2. WSL2 is a much reworked version of the original WSL. It changes how Linux distributions interact with Windows. As officials noted in today's post, each Linux distribution running on Windows 10 can run as WSL1 or WSL2 and can be switched at any time. According to Microsoft, WSL2 provides a full Linux kernel built into WSL2, improved system call support for all Linux apps, including Docker, Fuse, rsync, and more, and improved file system performance. To get WSL2 for 1903 and 1909, users simply need to check for updates via Windows Update. A team of University College London engineers have set a new world record internet speed, and you won't believe how fast it is. They've been able to achieve internet transmission speed a fifth faster than the previous record. The research team, led by Dr. Lydia Galdino, achieved a data transmission rate of 178 terabits a second. That's 178 million megabits a second. Compare that to the 50 megabits you're getting at home. At 178 terabits per second, it would be possible to download the entire Netflix library in less than a second. The record, which is double the capacity of any system currently in use worldwide, was achieved by transmitting data through a much wider range of colors of light, or wavelengths, than is typically used in optical fiber. Current infrastructure uses a limited spectrum bandwidth of 4.5 terahertz, with 9 terahertz commercial bandwidth systems entering the market, whereas the researchers used a bandwidth of 16.8 terahertz. To do this, researchers combined different amplifier technologies needed to boost the signal power over the wider bandwidth and maximize speed by developing new patterns of signal combinations that make best use of the phase, brightness, and polarization properties of the light. In this way, they were able to manipulate the properties of each individual wavelength. A huge benefit of the technique is that it can be deployed on already existing infrastructure by simply upgrading the amplifiers that are located on optical fiber routes at 40 to 100 kilometer intervals. It would be shockingly cheap to perform such an upgrade. Upgrading an amplifier would cost around $21,000 or about $420 per kilometer if we upgraded every 50 kilometers. Compare that to installing new optical fibers, which can, in urban areas, cost up to $750,000 per kilometer. Lead author Dr. Gal Dino, a lecturer at UCL and a Royal Academy of Engineering Research Fellow, said, "While current state-of-the-art cloud data center interconnections are capable of transporting up to 35 terabits a second, we are working with new technologies that utilize more efficiently the existing infrastructure, making better use of optical fiber bandwidth and enabling a world record transmission rate of 178 terabits a second. The speed achieved is close to the theoretical limit of data transmission set out by American mathematician Claude Shannon in 1949.
I want that bandwidth.
Right?
Install that at my studio.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, there's two things that kind of jumped out at me about this story. The first one, what Becca was kind of getting to about $24,000, I think, for 50 kilometers or per kilometer, whatever it was, to do the upgrade.
The math was there.
Yeah, it was there.
We've butchered it so far. But
that's right.
But significantly cheaper to make this upgrade than to lay new fiber.
Well, yeah. And so interestingly enough, this summer, or I guess this spring, when COVID kind of brought the world to its knees, at my church, we were looking to stream once we started getting back into the building. Mm-hmm. We had really slow internet, like half meg upload.
Ouch.
Yeah, right? So we reached out to different ISPs and we said, okay, what would it take to run, you know, first we looked into fiber, then we looked into DSL, then we looked into cable, the 1 kilometer, actually I think it's 0.8 kilometers from the junction box at the corner to where our property line was. And every quote we got was six figures or more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're talking a kilometer. And then I'm hearing this and I'm like, this is amazing. But at the same time, the fact that it's utilizing light, and I mean, here we are in a studio with light bulbs all around us. Now they're all LED, so that's not quite the same thing, but how neat would it be if this technology could be advanced to the point where we're getting our internet off a light bulb? If it's through, how neat would that be? Like,
it's got to be a little more refined than that. I mean, fiber optics are...
I agree, but you look at where the internet was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, imagine 15 years from now, you flick on a light and boom! Like, how...
Oh, Jeff, your predicament that you have at your church, or that you had, presumably you found a solution at least to get you by.
LTE.
Oh, okay, so you're wireless.
Yeah.
So you're getting about 20 megs per second.
20 up, 45 down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. That's pretty good.
No, we could stream and it's good.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cheaper? This is just a crazy thought, but buy the property on the corner that's near the junction box. Buy the property and have them run a 6-foot length from the junction box to a little tiny tower and put a Ubiquiti antenna on that that is pointed at your church. That has like air fiber,
you know,
which is like gigabit a second.
You know, it's funny. We actually have our sign there that we rent from the person who owns the property.
So put a little Ubiquiti antenna on top of your sign, connect it to the fiber, and you'd have to have like some kind of a box that powers everything and keeps it secure from...
It's got a powered light anyway.
Well, there you go. So now put it... So then beam that to your church. You can get gigabit per second internet for the cost of a 6-foot length of fiber run.
I actually think the box is like a foot from the pole.
Well, there you go. That's your answer.
Where were you 6 months ago?
I don't know. Nobody asked me. I mean, this is just what came to me just now, but... Oh, hey, lots of more exciting stuff coming up. Hands-free driving could actually be made legal in the UK. I mean, like, legit.
Wow.
Hands-free driving. Also, speaking of transportation, a Hyperloop could be coming to Canada.
What?
In Alberta.
Oh.
Becca's got these stories coming up. Plus, Robert's here with the Crypto Corner. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome to the world of cryptos and welcome to the Crypto Corner. Now, as you probably know, that there's not one boring week in cryptos, but let's take a look at it. Where are we standing today? So if we look at our favorite website, which is CoinGecko, and we see that the market is going down a little bit since yesterday, 2.5%. We're at $373 billion US dollar. Bitcoin went down since last week by 6.4%. And if we saw it by 7 days, we've got the usual picture. A lot of coins going up over, I mean, in this case, 145.2% in a week. And on the downside, well, this time it'll be a little bit more than last week. But nevertheless, I mean, I know that everybody of us goes and listens to so-called influencers, people that pretend they know what they're doing and recommend you this coin or that coin, and you see that suddenly that coin went through the roof and you say, hey, why am I not in this year? Well, it's very simple. These people are all good guessers. They do some research, but there's not really one expert that can tell you where the market is going or what's happening. You have to be reliant on yourself. So you have to do the research yourself. It's good, as I mentioned to you last time, to listen to other people and see what their thoughts are. But at the end, it's you have to do the research. And I promised you today I would show you how to do research. So the first thing, and I prepared a small image here. The first thing you have to do is you go on CoinGecko.com. As you see, CoinGecko.com. And because they're the best. They have got the most information, and their information is fairly reliable. So this is where I would start. And then you select the coin that you heard somebody shilling, recommending, whatever. And let's take here, for example, Algorand. You heard that coin is a very good one. So you get a lot of information already on this page here. Like on the right-hand side, you get market information, price information. That is very valuable. When was the all-time high, the all-time low? On the left-hand side, you've got the usual chart of what's happening, the market volume. But here you see some goodies. So you see their website. So first thing I would do is I would go onto the website and see what the website is telling you. You don't have to understand the technical details. Most people don't understand it, but just see whether that makes sense, whether you would like to put money into somebody that is promising you something that you're interested in. So that's the first thing I would do. Just browse around the website. They're all the same. They're all very flat. You don't see many different things in here. That might go into some technical things, but you can ignore that at the beginning. Next one is the community. So that's where other people are voicing their opinion. So you go into Reddit and see what's happening there. So here we see that something was posted 23 hours ago. This one here, okay, this is an ad. One day ago. So it seems fairly populated. So things are happening here. Next one is Twitter. Twitter is the central point of communication in the crypto industry. So Twitter is a must. You have to go in here and just check what the official Algorand team, in this case Algorand, is doing. So they published something 18 hours ago. Then here 23 hours ago. then August 22nd, so that's now 3 days ago. So they're pretty active in the market. Here's an interview. Just listen to what that interview what was discussed in that interview. So that's a good indicator. Next one is Telegram. Telegram is where people like you and I are talking. And so just open the download the Telegram app and just look into what other people are saying. I mean, you see a lot of people in there with some stupid opinions. I mean, you see here in this case, there are 9,200 members and 1,281 are online. That's a good indicator. And just browse to that Telegram. And Discord is similar to Telegram, a little bit more complicated, a little more complex. Last but not least, click on GitHub, because that's where you see the programmers working, doing their job. And you see here somebody updated a file 1 hour ago, 10 hours ago. So you see they are very active also in what they're doing. Now, this will give you the basis of the information on how you can take a decision, whether that's a coin that you would like to invest money in. Similar things you do with cars, similar thing you do with a house. You don't buy a house if I tell you you have to go on 43rd Road. You don't go there and just buy a house. You do your research the same way. And so do the same thing here. It's very simple. It's much easier than in the traditional stock market. As you can see, there are only a few areas where you can go and really do something. So yeah, that's it from me to this week. So I hope you liked it. I hope you learned something. I wish you another fantastic week and I hope to see you next week again. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Robert. Just a reminder that we're not providing any financial advice here, just sharing what's happening in the cryptocurrency market. Always remember that the cryptocurrency market is always changing. It's always volatile. So only invest what you can afford to lose. Now back to Becca.
Thank you, Robbie. The UK government has said hands-free driving could be legal by spring of next year. The Department for Transport has issued a call for evidence into automated lane-keeping systems. Such technology controls a car's movements and can keep it in lane for extended periods, although drivers need to be ready to take back control. The Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders claims it could reduce the number of accidents. The technology for a car to steer itself and stay in lane even around curves already exists in some modern cars, but the law says that drivers must remain alert and ready to take over instantly. Tesla's so-called autopilot is one well-known example. It is considered level 2 on the 5 defined levels of self-driving cars. The next step, level 3, would not need the driver's attention at all times, and in theory, the driver could do other things, such as check email or even watch a movie, until the car prompts them to take over again. Introducing those systems would require changes to current legal framework, something the DFT says it is now considering. While the technology has been approved by the United Nations Economic Commission for Europe, it is limited to traffic jams at speeds of up to 37 miles per hour. The change could give the go-ahead for speeds of up to 70 miles per hour in the UK, potentially making long stretches of tedious motorway driving a thing of the past. The UK government wants to hear from people within the motoring industry to decide how to safely implement the technology. The consultation closes on October 27th. The government in Alberta, Canada, is backing the development of a high-speed hyperloop between Edmonton and Calgary. Albertans could be among the first Canadians to travel by high-speed pods between cities after the government of Alberta signed an agreement with Canadian transportation tech company TransPod to develop and test a high-speed hyperloop between Edmonton and Calgary. Though no financial commitments have been made by the government, Alberta will support Toronto-based TransPod by sharing data, identifying land, and participating in discussions with potential investors, according to the news release. The project involves a short-term feasibility study ending in 2022, research and development ending in 2024, test track construction and use between 2024 and 2027, and the construction of a line between downtown Edmonton and downtown Calgary to begin in 2025. There are a handful of companies developing this technology, which allows pods to travel at high speeds in a low-pressure tube, with various projects in the early stages around the world. This would be the first such project in Canada. The vehicles would travel up to 1,000 kilometers per hour, with an average speed of between 400 and 600 kilometers per hour. Alberta's Hyperloop line would stop at the Edmonton and Calgary airports, as well as Red Deer, he said, and the total moving time of the full line would be a half hour. The system would be powered by a mix of solar panels and electricity and would mainly transport passengers and time-sensitive goods like mail or e-commerce products. The $6 billion to $10 billion project would create jobs in a province where many oil and gas workers have lost their jobs in recent years and position Alberta as a potential hub for technology. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And if you appreciate what we do, become a patron at patreon.com/category5. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Becca Ferguson.